Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 171.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, this episode is brought to you by ShopPad, one of the most respected Shopify partners building apps and solutions for over 400,000 merchants around the world. And their flagship product is called Mesa. Now, Mesa is an automation platform and the easiest way to integrate any e-commerce app with your online store. And it's the only automation platform designed exclusively for Shopify and Shopify Plus powered brands. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks, freeing up valuable time to focus on scaling your business operations. Now, they have a no-code workflow builder that allows anyone to create automation through a simple point-and-click interface. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, if workflow automation is new to you, don't worry. Mesa also has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa for free at absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial, so go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GetMesa.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, you're definitely in the right place today. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream a current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. Up to 170 some episodes now. You can stream them directly from E-Commerce Fastlane. There's a lot of offers and promotions. There's the show notes, links, transcripts. It's all there. So go check that out. In today's episode, though, very unique episode. I'm very excited. This is a top of mind to so many people, and it relates to speed. And so my guest is Andrew, and he's the founder and CEO of a company called Ecom Experts, and they're ecomexperts.io. And they're a team of Shopify developers, and what they do, and they're very unique and they're very focused. This is their one thing. They help clean up your Shopify code and make your site faster. You may think that every time you add an app and or you then remove it, Shopify's been quite good to make sure, in for the most part, that a lot of the remnant code of removing an app is removed from your theme. And I think for the most part, maybe some newer or, you know, certainly the Shopify Plus kind of, you know, certified app partners, I'm sure that those are, you know, have other checks and balances in place. But with, I don't know, 5,000 or 6,000 apps in the App Store, and your store could have been around for a while pre how Shopify was allowing for these removals and stuff. And so in fact, there is remnant code that is slowing down your store. And that's exactly what Ecom Experts does. We're going to dig deep into this. He's been doing this for over 2 years. He runs Ecom Experts. He's very focused and exclusively on Shopify site speed optimization. So he's truly the expert in the marketplace, him and his team. So hi, Andrew. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Man, what an intro. Thanks a lot, Steve. I love it.
Yeah, I'm hired, right?
Yes, congrats. You got the job. No, it's fantastic. I'm super honored to be here, man. Thank you.
My pleasure. You know, SiteSpeed, and we're talking offline in the green room just for recording today. And last year, like every holiday season, I produce kind of this 2020 kind of holiday readiness guide. And one of the sections in there is improving SiteSpeed. It is on everybody's mind, and it's super important to understand that, you know, a faster loading site and the whole SiteSpeed in general, it maximizes conversions. It's 100% guaranteed with a faster website, people are going to convert. That is a known fact. Also, when you get into some other things, I know we're going to talk about it. We think about like these third-party dependencies that are happening with your site, remnant code of older things that you've removed. And just so I think it's all very interesting. And that's what you do. You really dig deep into some of the basics, but then some of the more advanced things of like third parties, JavaScript, errors and images. And just there's a lot of minimizing things, a lot of stuff going on. I know. It's pretty wild.
Now I'm stressing out about everything I'm doing. No.
But you know, it's work that has to get done. And that's the thing, right? I mean, if you're serious about your business, and I know like I have a book of business, I have a bunch of Shopify Plus brands that I manage, and I guarantee you that SiteSpeed comes up every month about what can I do to improve my SiteSpeed. And I've actually recommended your solution, what we have, we'll talk about in a few minutes, and then an actual service that you offer to really more of a white glove opportunity. So, but let's maybe, hopefully I didn't butcher at the beginning, but I just would love to hear more in your words now about exactly how you are framing the company and how you're helping Shopify store owners.
No, absolutely. You did not butcher it at all. So really what we're doing is pretty much like you say, is we clean up your code. We go into your code, we completely clean it up, and we make your store really, really fast, including unlike the famous Google Core Web Vitals and the PageSpeed Insights score basically that you have. And having a clean code has tons of advantages. You can talk to any dev there like, yeah, no, your code should be clean. It has tons of advantages, including like, you know, Google's happy, you have a better UX, you increase your SEO, you increase your average order value. There is really a lot of the advantages, but it's not for everyone. So I think at some point we'll hit that later in the episode, but some people, it's perfect for some people and a bit less perfect for other people. So you kind of have to prioritize what you're going to do.
Right. So let's talk about your journey, because I'm always fascinated why people build what they build. I know you have a SaaS solution that allows people to test the speed, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but you also have a white glove service of like actual you and devs getting into the admin and actually doing the physical hard work of combing through everything and understanding what's supposed to be there and what's not supposed to be there, just, you know, in exchange for a faster website. So let's talk about your journey. What do you believe uniquely positions you, I guess, in the founding team, I guess, on a couple points, like the desire to want to do this, like where did this come from? And then where did you build up the expertise to be able to do this sort of work?
I actually had a Shopify store a long time ago. I was selling shoes. I had an entire factory down in Mexico. That was a whole wild story in itself. But at some point, I sold the factory. I moved back to Canada. And I started doing Shopify dev work, started with small jobs. And the problem I was facing was actually pretty straightforward. I had this client that would come to me and said, "Hey, Andrew, like I need to change my button from left to right. Super simple, right? How much are you going to charge me for that?" "I don't know. It's going to take me an hour. How hard can it be?" "Great. Awesome, Andrew." And then I would go into the code, and then I would realize that 50 other devs were in that code before me. It took me 6 hours just to figure out where one of those devs had programmed that button. At that point, I'm like, oh, yeah, something needs to be done here. So I just started working with clients after I cleaned up their code. I'm like, listen, I'm going to clean up your code first, and then we can do modifications to it. And then once we started doing that, we realized that, hey, wait a minute, clean code actually speeds up your store. Like there is some improvement here. And then we started focusing on, okay, how do I make a store faster? Because there were quite some requests coming in from that. It's about 2 years ago that we started doing that. And we built testmystorespeed.com, which is like 100% free. I mean, we're not even asking for your email. Okay, I have my business partners yelling at me for that. But you just type in your Shopify store. It tells you which apps we're detecting, which team you're detecting from any store. And with all of that data, we were able to look at, okay, what are the problems here? So it tests about 1,000 stores a day, all of those waterfalls, all of those sequences. And now we know like, oh, okay, so this is really where the issues start lying. And based on that, we build an optimization service. So you come to us, we entirely clean it up, we reprioritize app loading and stuff like that, and you get a really fast, clean store in return.
Yeah, I love it. I love testmystorespeed.com. I use it quite a bit. I think it's one of the interesting talking points that I have. I have monthly calls with a lot of brands that I manage, and I run it through and take a couple screenshots and just kind of show them some things. And I really love the waterfall effect. And basically what that means is that there's a certain kind of time that's reasonable for the website. They call it the first contentful paint, but then there's also when you get some interactivity on the website where it's usable, and a lot of things can happen in the background or below the fold, which could kind of go on forever. Like it could be 20 seconds for all that matters, as long as the customer gets the opportunity to be able to move around the website. That's changed a little bit now with what's coming up with Core Web Vitals and things like that, where they want all of it loaded quickly as fast as possible as part of a higher ranking factor, which we'll talk about a little later. But I love the waterfall effect. I just give an example where I had one site, I got to keep them nameless right now, but we're talking, you know, $100 million company, very well respected in the marketplace on Shopify Plus, massively crushing it. Their actual final summary is 15 in your tool right now. Okay. And so, you know, and you see the size of the web, you know, 7.16 megabytes. So it's not good. And there's 288 requests.
It's a heavy page, and that's a lot of files. 288 different files that you need to load just to build
the homepage. There's 288 requests on the homepage alone. But here's a company that's doing $100 and some million in a year annually. So they're obviously doing a lot of things well. So they got great branding, they got visuals, they got everything. But no wonder director of customer experience and different people trying to optimize the website, they're looking at me going, okay, we need to speed this sucker up. Like desperately need to speed it up. Sounds like this is potentially a great customer of yours, because there's a lot of things that, you know, and they've got the bankroll, obviously, but obviously not the time, because they would have dealt with this. Very clear what this shows. Mm-hmm. That's what's interesting about what you offer, is that, you know, yes, you can have a slower-ish site with lots of dependencies, like 288 requests here happening on the homepage, which is not great at all. It's a massive failure. No wonder you're only getting 15 out of 100 here, but there's an opportunity still to fix that, which that will give an overall better customer experience and will improve all of the KPIs that are important for this brand. I can guarantee that.
No, 100%. And I think you put the finger straight on it. Like, when you say, like, hey, big brand, they're very busy, they have a lot of things to do, I have never met a developer who's like, you know what I love doing for a living, except the devs on my team, obviously, but that say, you know what I love doing is cleaning up other people's code. I love doing that. And so you create situations with these huge brands that have very talented developers, but they don't necessarily enjoy, like, okay, like, let's sit down for a month or even a week and let's go through all of the code and clean it up. Like, no dev wants to do that. It's really important.
I'm looking at this video right now, or just watching this thing, this waterfall effect, which really goes from left to right, from speed and then all the dependencies. And you can really see when at some point it kind of goes over that edge of just not being reasonable from Google's eyes about, and customer experience wise, about what's not important here and what you need to do to fix it. So it sounds like you have quite a bit of work on your hands, hopefully not stressing you out about it, but there's a lot to do. And I'm probably going to make a warm intro to these fellows, because I think they definitely need some help. Let's talk about, we talked about some already, the dependencies of third parties. There's some things that are causing some of the challenges right now. Like, this is current active third parties, potentially. Maybe not. Maybe they're still firing and they're not even paying for these services and they need to be punted because the code is old. But can you talk about what you see? What's making a Shopify site fast or slow from what you see today?
It's a complex topic that has a lot of misinformation right now around the web. It's kind of confusing. The main thing on the Shopify ecosystem, in the Shopify platform, is really the apps. So when devs tell you, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about this, it's the apps. They're kind of in the sense that, yeah, it is the apps that slow down. Let's say you're a big app name and you want to make sure that your app works on every single page, on every single website. So what are you going to do is you're going to force the load of your app at the very top, as high as you can, on every page. But let's say that app is only necessary on the product page. Well, as an app developer, you're just like, well, that's the cost of doing business. I'm still going to load it on the homepage. And so this is where you lose a lot of speed, because these homepages are loading all the apps that are not even used on the homepage. Another example is, for example, let's say you have an Instagram feed app. That's a very classic example. Usually, Instagram feeds are at the bottom of a homepage, for example. Why are you loading up that app? Before you're loading any Facebook pixel, any Google Tag Manager pixel, why are you loading that app at the very top of your priority on the homepage? You could easily say to that app, hey, listen, wait a second until the user starts interacting with your screen, until the user starts scrolling down, and then load this Instagram app. It makes more sense. So there's a lot about how you optimize the app loading time and what you prioritize and not. A mistake I see sometimes happening is they say, okay, we're just going to block everything. And then you block Facebook pixels and tracking pixels. And of course, that's horrible. You want those pixels to be loading as early as possible. So it's really playing with that order. A final thing I just want to add here is that a lot of people say images, and it's true, images are important. There is no doubt about that. But Shopify has done a great job with WebP. It's the format that they have rolled out, I think, about a year ago. And it takes care of most of the image issues when it comes to speed loading. So it's the apps. And oh, another thing, when you have multiple developers working on your store over the years, they each are going to install their own version of jQuery or whatever library they use. And so I walk into some stores and I see like six different jQuery libraries that are being loaded. And yeah, okay, that's just a no-brainer at that point for us. It's like, okay, we need to optimize this.
This happens quite a bit where I talk to brands and I say, listen, you know, do you have some kind of versioning? Because let's say they choose to export all, this is the only other workaround versus the work that you're doing is literally exporting all of your products and order history, like in a CSV file, like using, I don't know, Excelify or something and pulling all of it out and then installing on a brand new instance of Shopify, installing a brand new fresh theme from today, and then selectively adding on every single new app that you just want, and then transferring all of the products and order history back into the admin again. That's an extreme way of what some people are doing.
A nuclear option.
It's a nuclear option. Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's feasible for everybody. But what's interesting is I always talk to brands. I say, listen, like, do you have some kind of versioning available? You know, do you have the education? And there are some really neat apps out there and solutions that theme developers and internal kind of dev teams should be using. I'll make sure that I link them up in the show notes, but there's some really great apps out there or platforms, I believe, that people can use that anytime you're making a change to the website, that there's like a GitHub or a Buddy something. I have to look it up, but there's quite a few different ones out there. And what's great about them is they actually keep proper versioning. So for those listening today, there's some opportunity here. It's like, check your site speed and see where you're at. You do have an opportunity through your company to actually the white glove side and let you guys do the work because you know what to look for and you know how to improve the speed. I think that's very notable. But then moving forward, it's like, okay, anybody, like the exactly like we said about the button, don't even know where it's hidden in the code somewhere. Okay, if you have a nice fresh start and clean everything all up and then have a proper versioning of your website and saving it correctly, maybe even using Rewind, but having something where you have proper backups, but then proper versioning. Anytime you're touching the website and making some changes, you're able to make those changes offline and push it to the live instance. I think that makes a lot of sense personally from my perspective, from kind of what I see.
100%. It's one of the things that all of our devs that start working on Shopify, they're like, oh, what? There is no version control built in. Yeah, we're like, no, you kind of have to work with it. And we have our own pipelines. But no, totally. That is the big thing.
So let's talk. I'm going to say site speed is controversial, but a little bit is because, you know, I mentioned already about this big brand that I'm managing. And here they are, $100 million brand. With a 15 in your score, and I don't even know what's in their admin right now. So they're obviously not doing well either. It's probably on their mind. I just did another one a second ago too in a subscription business. They got a 14. They got a 1.88 and they're not even headless. So they're running on Shopify, 1.88 for load time, 250 requests on their homepage, you know, and all the basics, the Klaviyos, the Recharge, the Push Owl, the Wishlist Pro, like they got a lot of things that are going on here. Klaviyo is the one's really slowing them down. But it's interesting. There sounds like there's lots of, it looks like your pool of opportunity out there of potential customers is quite large, because the upside, the impact that you can make by cleaning things up and minimizing a lot of things and not loading everything that doesn't need to be loaded, exactly what you talked about. Is there anything particular that's kind of catching your attention about the controversial topics around speed? Like, we talk about large sites doing well with low speed. Is there anything else that's on your mind?
I think anyone that is a little bit in the Shopify ecosystem knows that it's a controversial topic. There are very qualified, very smart people in the ecosystem that are like, look, you're just trying to optimize your score for Google. It's not really, you know, going, it doesn't really have to do anything with the speed. And I respect a lot of these people, all of them. And I think they make a couple of good points, and it's important that they voice their opinions, but I don't agree with them on this. At the end of the day, you can look at your own analytics, how much comes from Google, how much comes from PPC mobile. That's really what we tell our clients. Listen, yes, an Amazon might have a very bad score, but when I see an ad from Amazon, I know what I'm going to get. When I see an ad from yourstore.com, I have no idea what I'm going to get. And my patience is much smaller on your store than if I go to Amazon. So there is a good argument to be made, like, oh, look at these big guys. They're not doing it either. But these big guys aren't doing everything right. They're not doing everything perfectly necessarily.
I just got the links. I'm going to make a little pivot here, but the links that I just noticed that I think might be important for those as far as like just understanding versioning. One is called buddy.works. So you can go to buddy.works/Shopify. Interesting little solution there. I guess it's somewhat in relation to what GitHub is doing or Bitbucket, these sorts of things, helping to automate deployments and things and keeping versioning and organizing things. You're optimizing your JavaScript and your CSS files and compressing images. They do lots of fun things with this BuddyPress. And there's also another opportunity through a company called DeployHQ at deployhq.com. Same idea, making these kind of deployments, kind of automated deployments in like from GitHub or from wherever, different repositories of data. This way it's more versioned. This is a little bit more advanced. I say for most, maybe not those listening in today, you probably don't have a full-time experience like senior dev on staff. But if you did, these are the sorts of conversations that I have with some of the plus brands that have full dev resources in-house. This is where they need to go, right? They need to go BuddyWorks or into DeployHQ for some of their opportunities, just to have a starting point and then moving forward. It's always versioned correctly.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I would, again, 100% recommend versioning your code. I think any dev could stand behind that.
So let's talk about, there's another big topic right now called Core Web Vitals from Google. And I know people are freaking about it right now. It's coming. I know there's some tools right now that are actually testing for this sort of thing, and it's a pass or a fail and kind of what it means. So we'd love to have your feedback on it because you're kind of knee deep into this stuff.
Yeah, so this kind of ties in actually perfectly with why it's controversial. It's, you know, who is Google to decide what is good and what is bad? It's kind of like, but yeah, Core Web Vitals, they're 100% a thing. And now Google just came out and said, all right, they do it in their typical, like, not very clear Google language, in a sense that they say it's going to impact SEO. And some people read their documentation and says, oh, no, it's going to be a big impact on SEO. And other people read the exact same lines and they say, oh, no, no, no. They just say it's going to be a tiebreaker. So they're never very clear on how big it's going to impact SEO. But it's fair to assume that Google wants a good experience for anyone using their service. So what they've kind of come up with is like, okay, how do we test basically all the sites on the internet? What if we do some key metrics that we're going to scrape every website on the internet on, and we're going to score every one of those sites based on those key metrics? And they're already doing that. That's basically what the speed is in the speed report on Shopify, on Test My Store Speed. Those are based on the Core Web Vitals of Google. But now they're changing it up a bit, because you kind of have to imagine it's a bot that's taking a look at your website. So they're trying to guess, okay, what is the best formula? And back in the days, they said, hey, you know what? I got a brilliant idea. I'm going to see how fast your site is based on the time it takes for the first element on your site to load. And then obviously devs were like, oh, really? Okay, so I'm just going to put a very small thing that's super light and I'm going to make it load super quick. And so it's been this cat and mouse game throughout the history of Core Web Vitals, where Google keeps changing it up and to make it more realistic. And so now the three main things you kind of have to look at now in their Core Web Vitals are, and hang in there with me, because it sounds a bit like, oh God, here he goes with his like nerdy tech talk, but it's going to make total sense. It's LCP, which is the largest contentful pane, which is basically, if you look at your store, what's the biggest thing you see? Is it an image? Is it a big text block? Is it a big button? What's the biggest thing you see? Then FID, first input delay, is how long does it take for the website to start being interactive before the user can start scrolling? And then a fun one that has been always around, but that now gets way more attention, is CLS, which is cumulative layout shift. And that means nothing more than, okay, how much does my website move down when it loads? You see, when you go to a website and suddenly it completely loads, but then after that, there is like this promotional banner on top that loads and pushes everything down. Google doesn't like that. They don't like that at all, because you might be clicking on more info, but now everything is pushed down and you click on buy. So they're like, oh, no. So they're measuring those three things, basically.
Wow. Okay. So it's largest contentful paint. Then it's first input delay, you're calling it, and then it's this cumulative layout shift.
Exactly.
And then, so basically, there's either a pass or a fail when it comes to those sorts of things. Then that itself, I guess, is a way of improving, I guess, the site experience overall by passing these core web vital, I guess, assessments, so to speak.
If you think about it, it's really a logical way of trying to assess like a massive amount of websites. Being like, okay, how long does it take for the biggest element on your website to load? It makes a lot of sense. There is just one little bit of caveat, and to all your listeners especially, it's with LCP, so largest contentful pane. There is a thing. So you have to look at your site, like I say, you see the biggest thing. Okay, cool. The problem is that a lot of Shopify stores load a pop-up at the end of their like loading, on load. And so Google considers that pop-up often as the largest thing. Now, the problem with that pop-up is that it only starts loading at the very end of the experience. So in Google's eyes, what just happened is, oh, the largest thing took all the loading time, and it took a long time before that largest element showed up. This must be a really slow site. So try to make your pop-up like on user engagement, or when the user starts scrolling, or when the user wants to leave, instead of just putting it standard like on load when the user lands on your website.
Yeah, that's good clarity. I'm gonna make sure I have some links to a lot of this stuff, because this is like super important for those DIY people that are listening today that really want to get into the nerdy kind of nitty gritty of this. There's lots of great links. You've written content. There's other stuff on the web. Shopify has written some great stuff too, just for education purposes and kind of what sort of things can you do. And part of it really comes down to just literally running a speed test off testmystorespeed.com. That's why you have it there. It's kind of like almost like a gateway drug to, you know, what it is that you guys are doing. And just educates the market in general that, hey, I may have a problem here, and if I do, how do I solve it? And organic traffic is, you know, I'm spearheading a project right now internally that's trying to help grow share of search and organic rank and just organic traffic and conversions. And it does come down to a lot of these core web vital kind of statistics and just trying to speed your website up and metadata and all the kind of basic kind of low-hanging SEO things. You're the speed side of it. There's also other elements to the algorithm that Google doesn't want to give away, but we kind of know that it definitely will have an impact on a brand. So
another thing that I noticed, and that's actually in one of your episodes back in the days, you talked also about site speed optimization, and they were saying that it increases the average order value of a specific website if it's fast, because the argument was people are more likely to, you know, shop around if it's fast and to kind of go and see around and add more things in their basket. And so when I heard that, I actually went to see what kind of we did with our clients. And yeah, it's 100% true. There is an impact on the average order value, or there seems to be a big impact on the average order value for sure.
So this question may sound like a no-brainer, but I don't believe it is, because I think site speed optimization, I don't believe is for everybody personally. I think there's other kind of variables in play here about like when is the right time to consider digging into why your site's a little bit slow versus other ideas. I know you have definitely an opinion around this. So I'd love to hear how you position your company and when's the right time to consider this sort of work.
So one of the things I believe as a store owner is that you're constantly on the hunt of, okay, where is my lowest hanging fruit? Where I have limited amount of dollars, where can I make the most impact with that? And what we've typically seen, if you're making like under 20,000 in revenue US, there's just lower hanging fruit elsewhere than focusing your hard-earned money on site speed optimization. You could probably, you know, spend that money on sending more traffic to your website, on having a bigger market fit, on return customers. There's just so much other things you can do at that point than investing in site speed optimization. So it makes more sense for bigger brands that have a lot of legacy code and where it's very heavy and chunky.
I would agree with you. Yeah. I mean, when you think about acquisition, conversion or conversion optimization strategies, retention marketing, do you have a loyalty program? Do you have a refer a friend program yet? Are you building community? What's going on in social media? I mean, I have a list in my brain of things that I know need to get done. There's work to be done. And if you're a newish brand and you've got a nice premium theme that's installed and, you know, a limited number of apps and stuff, it's probably not as big an issue. But those that, you know, are in business for a few years and are starting to get a lot of traction, and there's been, as you said, different people touching it and not having some of these tools out here that I mentioned from before, like, you know, using BuddyWorks or Deploy HQ. If you don't have these sorts of versioning tools in place, in all likelihood, there are some challenges with app selection and then multiple devs touching your code. And that's kind of where you guys fit into the mix.
And it's often, and we really need to stress that because I have a lot of like starting stores that are like, oh no, my site speed. And I'm like, listen, don't worry. You have a million other things to worry about. And I'll call you when you need to worry about this, but it's not now yet.
So let's pivot a bit over to some stories because I or at least one story anyways, if you can maybe share someone who I guess had a need for the fact, so I guess they'd be more of a mature store that would likely have some old legacy code and apps and just a lot of dependencies and stuff with third parties. And then how you kind of came in, you know, as a superhero, so to speak, and kind of save the day for them. I would love to understand, and maybe you can tell that story in some kind of a narrative about kind of like what happened, how they found you, who they are, and just, yeah, what the whole steps were, and then what was the final outcome?
Yeah, no, for sure. One of the stores we recently did is headphones.com. It's just fresh on our mind. It's a really big store. They do fantastic. They sell headphones, obviously, and the quality is just incredible. And they reached out to me. They heard from us from one of our other clients, and they were like, listen, Andrew, it's just time to clean it up. Like, we've been building things on top of things on top of things for the last 6-7 years, and no one really stopped and be like, okay, we need to clean it up. And now things might start breaking when we start changing something. We change something on the product page and something on the FAQ page breaks type of thing. And that's not the goal here. So we're like, okay, we went in and we underestimated the scale of that job because they weren't kidding when they said that they only added stuff and never removed anything. The thing is that there were a lot of patches upon patches. And so we had to really clear all that out, rewrite huge chunks of it. There was apps that were blocking other links and scripts. And man, Steve, it was a mess. We pulled through and now they have a really fast site and everything works really well. So they were actually super happy about it. Delivered it like, yeah, 3-4 days ago. And they're an awesome brand.
Yeah. And I actually ran it through your tool just to kind of see. And, you know, when talking about other brands that have like 250 dependencies, 275 dependencies, this one's 41. It passed, you know, a 1.75 megabyte page size. It passed load time of 0.8, massively passed. And so it's very clear that the work that you did, it was like truckloads of work, but it's proven that what you do works. And that's the proof's in the pudding right now. When I get a 90 on your tool, it's fantastic. So kudos to that. And so they hired you, you did this work. Did it impact your bottom line at all? I mean, is there anything that you can talk about publicly, or is it just kind of like anecdotal that, hey, now that the site is faster, that means something?
So that's one thing that I'm very careful to say, make big statements about, because what really impacts the bottom line is there's so many variables. These guys run tons of promotions. They do tons of like A/B testing. They're really good at what they do. It's also been like 3 days since we delivered. So right now I can't for sure say like, hey man, they made so much money working with us, because that would simply not be true yet. But I'm pretty confident that there will be an increase in their bottom line.
Well, I'll be watching them. I'll see who the merchant success manager is at this opportunity, of this website, and see. And I'll be chatting with them kind of offline just to see, because obviously it's a great case study to say, hey, you know what, this works. And obviously with the speed now, I can see that it's snappy, and I like that. So really, really cool. So I'm going to pivot a bit over into those listening today, because I think because of the popularity of this podcast, there's a lot of different types of entrepreneurs. Some are kind of early stage or haven't even launched their store, and they're just kind of getting ideas about how I can get involved in e-commerce. A lot of people in the mid-market are kind of early SMB kind of people, mid-market, and then lots of people on the plus side that are kind of doing their thing over $1 million or more a year, sometimes upward of $1 billion. And so there's a big, I guess, a diversity of entrepreneurs that are listening in. I would love to hear it from your perspective. I mean, you're a former entrepreneur yourself, running your shoe company and doing your thing, and now being front lines now with a lot of brands and really helping them, and can see the impact of speed. And obviously there's going to be KPIs that are increasing. And because of that, it's not anecdotal. It's proof. Faster websites convert better, and it's better customer experience. And that's what people want and expect, especially on mobile. So I don't know if you have any advice you can give. You're in a good vantage point right now. You know, store owners listening today and saying, hey, I want to improve. I want to grow and scale more than what I'm at. What sort of things do you believe that a brand should work on today?
Very overall, because I do meet quite a bit of these also Shopify Plus store owners, just like you. And what I've noticed and what they've told me is like, you got to read. Like a lot of the problems that we have, someone else has already had them, has figured them out, and being an entrepreneur, they probably wrote a book about it. So there is a lot of value in reading. And we had some stats somewhere saying like entrepreneurs are the people that have the least amount of time reading versus like doctors or airline pilots. And most of our issues are already solved and are written beautifully in books. But now you might be listening to this and be like, yeah, Andrew, that's not really what I wanted to hear. I'm more interested in your dev opinions. From that point, I would say, like, from my experience, try to stick to one developer, even if that's not us. If you're working with a developer and you like what they do, and you know they give you a quote or they do something where you're like, ah, that's a bit on the high side, or ah, that's a bit slow. The advantage of sticking to one developer that just knows your team, that does it well, it really outshines whatever one day earlier delivery or 10% cheaper you're going to get from constantly moving around. If you're constantly moving around, you're just cluttering everything. And I guess it's good for me because you're going to have to call me sooner at that point. But it's probably not good for you.
I'd also add that, you know, surrounding yourself, like you, I mean, you kind of mentioned it too there, you know, but surround yourself with winners, I think, is key. Like building community around entrepreneurship. I mean, Shopify is a big proponent of that. I think there's a Shopify Plus kind of Facebook group. There's lots of different Facebook groups and things out there, just organizations and stuff of people just trying to build entrepreneurship kind of tendencies. It can be lonely being an entrepreneur, especially a solo founder. And this way, when you can get involved with others that are experiencing the same things in the startup world, I think that's really cool. I'd also would add, like, you know, that, and this is, I don't know where this slogan came from, but I totally agree with it, about leveling up yourself. But, you know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So if you're going to hang out with losers, then you're kind of a loser. On the flip side, if you're going to hang out with winners or people that you're aspiring to, maybe they are a level or two ahead of you in the maturity and the complexity of their brand and their revenue, but you show up and you're there to offer any value you can. Be a fly on the wall, whatever. Show up to these meetups in person, what, you know, when, as you know, pandemic allows. But I think it's interesting. There's a lot of virtual stuff happening now, but showing up and being at these places and learning and being open. Forget the shiny object syndrome. Like, let's not chase everything, but at least educate on what's best practice today and kind of, you know, where's one or two things that you can kind of work on. I think this is the great way. Align yourself with a great community and move forward.
100%. And that's really when you realize, once you start doing that, like, hey, wait a minute, I'm having this issue right now, bringing traffic to my site. And it turns out like 100 million other people had that issue. And like, this is how they solved it. Oh, that would work for me.
So let's talk about the future for Ecom Experts. and your company, you know, and the speed testing tool. Like, I'm just curious about if you have a North Star, I guess, for the remainder of 21. Is what's the next thing you're working on, or are you just too slammed, just kind of doing what you're doing right now?
No, there's definitely a next thing. And back to my previous points, one of the things I learned in the book is the quality of your team really makes a huge difference. You got to surround yourself with A players, like you just said. And I'm pretty picky on who we work with on our team. And I'm pretty proud of the team we have. There are really some brilliant engineers in there that are way smarter than me. The goal is going to be taking that team and completely focusing on site speed optimization and on cleaning up Shopify stores out there, because not a lot of people are doing it and we're really good doing it. I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I definitely think we're really good doing it. And then once we reach that milestone, maybe in 2 years, where like really everyone had very clean store, then I think with a brilliant group of people, you can do pretty much whatever you want at that point. Yeah, it's going to be up to the team what they want to do next after that.
We are nearing the end of the show for today. Is there any takeaways that you would like to leave? I mean, any kind of next steps? What's the action item, I guess? You've listened to this episode. Speed apparently is important. It is. It's going to impact a lot of things, forced by Google. But just anything that you want to summarize for us today?
Yeah, I think what gets measured gets managed, right? So the first thing you need to know is, where do I stand? And Shopify has a great report to do site speed. Check out testmystorespeed.com as well. Again, I'm not asking anything for it, not even an email. So at least you're going to know where you stand and what the current situation is. And we keep trying to make it better. Once you know what your situation is, once you measured it, then you start managing it. So then you know, okay, should I focus on speed? Yes or no? We talked about that a bit earlier. What's kind of try to limit the amount of devs working on my store, surround yourself with rock stars, and then from there on, just keep building.
So testmystorespeed.com, and then your primary URL is ecomexperts.io, and you have, you know, a YouTube channel, and there's pretty cool. I love your thumbnails because you have these kind of action faces and it forces you to click, because you're like, ooh, we have this kind of like, oh, face, or like, wow, or pointing and stuff. I'm like, it's obviously working, because I think that's the key.
I'm sorry you have to see my face every day.
I do. I subscribe to your channel, but I see it. I'm like, oh, okay. Because I'm sure you must think about, you know, like trying to get click through. I'm sure there's a psychology around thumbnails in YouTube to be thumb worthy, to be clicked on. And it's just like, woo, you always see the shocked face and stuff like that with the open mouth and stuff, or pointing to stuff and just like, I can't believe that happened. But we did speak offline, and I just throw it out there that you have an opportunity that you want to share, like I guess an offer or promotion that's available for those that, hey, run your speed test for free, or, you know, just learn what Shopify has to offer as far as inside your admin. Then from there, DIY it yourself by hiring a dev. Think about these sort of like Bitbuckety kind of deploy HQE kind of things for versioning, thinking about that. But outside of all of that, you have a white glove service where you can actually get in there and do the work. And so I'll let you take the floor and share your offer for today.
Yeah. So if you're like, hey, I get all of this, I want to fix my site speed, but I don't want to go into the technicals, I just want to get it done, which is pretty fair. Then we offer a $400 discount for all your listeners. So that means we're going to do it at $10.99 US instead of $14.99 US. It takes us about a week to fully optimize your store, to clean it all up. And after that, what we do is we will offer you 3 months of free maintenance. So every month we kind of go in, we clean it up so that you can install all the apps you want, and you know that, like, okay, we're good. Andrew's going to come in at the end of the month and make sure that it stays fast and it stays clean. So $10.99 for site speed optimization and 3 free months for anyone that's listening to Steve.
Yeah, this is beautiful. Thank you for that offer. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. I mean, it really depends on the brand. Like you said, above 20K in revenue is kind of a good sweet spot or a starting point. It's a small investment to pay to saying, hey, you know, I've been running for a few years. There's likely remnant code. There's some, you know, and I guess if anything, it opens up some dialogue between you and your team that now you know an expert in the field that's focusing and doubling down on speed optimization as it relates to remnant code and third-party dependencies of partners and partner apps and things like that. So I think the dialogue is there, and now you have someone on Rolodex now for a small amount of money. I appreciate the discount. I think it's a small price to pay, you know, when a lot of devs are, you know, making upwards $200 an hour. you know, this is a small price to pay to get all of this work done. So I just really appreciate that. But other than that, just thanks for coming on the show. I just really, really, really appreciate it. It's just like so much learning. I wish you tremendous luck and success into the future. And I'm glad that we met first serendipitously through YouTube. But after that, now we finally met on video and now we have a podcast. And so I just thanks, Andrew, for coming on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. And thanks, UC, for making this ecosystem a lot better. Thanks to all your podcasts.
I know, it's great. It's life of learning, right?
Exactly.
Well, have yourself a great afternoon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Today's episode was made possible by Mesa, the easiest way to integrate any Shopify app with your online store. Now, Mesa allows you to create workflows that automatically carry out repetitive tasks and free up valuable time to focus on growing and scaling your business operations. You can set up email notifications, schedule tasks, delay workflows, all with the simplicity of Mesa's built-in features. Now, Mesa has a free and growing library of templates that will get you set up quickly with the most popular tasks for any growing business on Shopify. Now, you can try Mesa today for free, absolutely no cost. They have a 14-day free trial. So go check them out at getmesa.com. That's GETMESA.com. And their team of experts will support you on your journey of Shopify automation and improving efficiencies. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.